Alrighty, hello everyone, and welcome back to the Reformed Dissenters. We are the show where Reformed Christians dissent against popular ideas of culture by asserting a biblical worldview. I'm Bruce Johnson, of course. My brother Jacob is joining me today.
Hello.
And today we are talking about current events, which, if you're following us on social media, you got a little bit of a sneak peek into this topic. So, spoiler alert, we're still not fans of Trump, and he's doing nothing to fix that, or anything, he's making it worse. So, we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about Carrie Lake. She is somehow even worse. And, it's going to be quite the episode.
Well, we're tying the connection between Carrie Lake and Trump, and
So, yes, this will be quite the episode. You do not want to miss this. So we also have a brief-ish current events discussion plan for the end of this episode, where we want to address what a biblical political victory looks like. And we might just chat about that for a little bit at the end. So stick around for that discussion because it's always very entertaining. But before we get into all that, we have to do what we always do, which is talk about our verse of the week. And our verse passage this week is Deuteronomy chapter 10. I just like slip passage in there, just hoping nobody notices because it's another passage of the week instead of a verse of the week. Mm-hmm. Deuteronomy 10 verses 12 through 14, a little bit of a longer one, but I think it's really, really powerful. This passage says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I commanded you, which I am commanding you today for your own good. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth with all that is in it." Deuteronomy 10. 12 through 14. So there is a central theme to this, and the central theme is God's laws matter, which we've been discussing for the last, 3 weeks, Jake, in Adam Terrell's book, Public Stoning. Yeah. And I mean, that's an unavoidable theme if you read the Bible and you read the Bible well. I mean, you can skip around it, I suppose, but good luck. We call those people dispensationalists, and they've got some pretty wacky ideas about the Bible. but God's law is important. It's a vital aspect and should be a vital aspect of our lives today. It was a vital aspect for Israel, and that certainly doesn't change in the new covenant. Just because we are new creatures in Christ does not mean that suddenly we get to do whatever the heck we want and make it up as we go along. That's called sin, and God hates that. And so, when we read passages like this, we should understand how important this is to God. And we get a little bit of that how importance, that degree of importance from, I think, the end of this passage, where it talks about, you know, God sets all this out. He says, do all this. A lot of times he will refer to his authority in bringing the Israelites out of Egypt. He says, behold, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, right? You're not slaves today because of me. No, now you have an obligation, right? Other times he refers to his creation and says, these laws are for your good. David got that. He understood that in the Psalms. He said, I love your law. It gives me life. Right. And we've talked about that in Adam Terrell's book, too. Mm-hmm. So those are two different appeals to different types of authority. One of them is God created you and knows how you're built and knows what's best for you. Noder. Just like a creator, someone who creates something, creates the iPhone, if you will, knows how it works, knows the inner workings, and is probably the best person to suggest maintenance for that. Right. That's the same sort of thing here. But also, there's the appeal to you. I brought you out of slavery. You were a slave before I intervened. And then also we see that in the New Testament. You were slaves to sin before Christ intervened. But here we see yet another appeal at the end of this passage. Quote, behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and heaven of heavens, the earth with all that is in it. This is yet another appeal from God. I own everything. It's all mine. I'm king of it all. He is in control of it all. He owns it all. The heavens of heavens, the greatest of everything, and everything on the earth. This is paralleled in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, right? All encompassing, all authority belongs to Christ today. Right now, he's king. And so, with all that in mind, he's backing this up. Why is this law so important? Because he is king of all, and this is his decree. These commands, these laws, these precepts, these principles that we're studying are vitally important because they're so important to our king. They're important for our lives. They're important for so many reasons. And so as we break this down today, as we discuss how politics relates to these laws and this biblical framework, this biblical view of viewing the world, keep this in mind. Like, there's a reason we try and relate everything we talk about to the Bible and to God's way of doing things, because ultimately that's all that matters. You can get strategy involved. You can get, well, I think this might be better. At the end of the day, what actually matters? The word of God. Sunday school answer. Should be obvious. But in today's day and age, there's a lot on the line. Oh, I don't know. I'd really rather not pay $7 for gas. I'd really, you know, rather be able to afford my groceries in the store. I'd really, you know, there's a million reasons to forget this. And that's why we reassert this so much, especially in this election season, because it's so, so easy to fall back into strategy and us and me. I can figure this out apart from the word of God. Yeah. And with that, let's move into why we are so maybe agitated today. We're so on the edge of our seat and just like, oh, this is insane. What the heck happened this week, Jake?
I think it's very interesting because I'm going to start out with something big, something huge. But I think it's very true. It could seem like, well, no, this isn't so true. But it really is if you think about it. Like Trump is backing down on abortion. He's basically backing down. Mm. He's done on the abortion issue, basically. And let me start it with a quote. This comes from an Epoch Times article, which was talking about what Trump said. And this says, former President Trump said on April 8th that decisions on abortion should be left to the states, as he declined to back a national level limit.
Mm.
So,
wow. That's
obviously, horrible. I think for a lot of people who were going through the overturning of Roe v. Wade or the Dobbs case, which took down Roe v. Wade, great win, right? But basically what we said after that, basically what the cause and basically what Trump is saying here is that that was it. That's done. And this is why I'm saying he's backing down. He's not going any further. And this kind of brought up a thought in my mind, like, what is the point? Because we talk about all the time that, hey, you know, it's the Democrats are not going to like if we put this huge ban on abortion. So let's compromise and let's say we'll do this much because we really want to be this far on abortion. But, you know, they're not going to want to go for that. So let's compromise and come to the middle. What is the point of compromise if we're okay with staying at this middle point?
Yeah,
because basically the Republican Party, since the beginning of time, has said we don't want abortion. We don't want any abortion at all.
Yeah, because we used to recognize that it was murder. We used to literally be
exactly.
like, this is murder. Now today, I don't think we believe that.
Yeah, yeah. Which we'll discuss that later on when we talk about Carrie Lake, which is very, very interesting. But why are we compromising as a Republican Party if we're not taking that compromise and moving forward with it? We're basically saying this huge victory that we have with the overturning of Roe v. Wade was not a stepping block. It was the end. It was the end goal. No, that's not the end goal. That's a stepping block so we can move forward. Let me move into a quote by Donald Trump himself. which he says many states will be different. Many will have a different number of weeks, or some will have more conservative than others. And that's what they will be. At the end of the day, it's all about the will of the people.
What about the people in the womb? It's not about their will, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. And this kind of leads into more of an argument that this leads into what Bruce wants to discuss in his theological discussion. What the will of the people is evil.
Mm-hmm.
Are we following the people? Are the people the end all? Is that the judge? Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all else, above all things, and despitefully sick." Desperately sick, sorry. Who can understand it? Our will, our hearts, are not the answer.
Yep.
It's deceitful. The people's hearts, what will they go to? Because we look at it, if we took an overall vote, hey, guess what? They would want abortion. Because a lot of the cities make up a large portion of the population. They want evil. They want this evil.
Yep.
But is that the answer? Do we as Christians truly believe that this is a sin issue, that this is murder? This is a moral issue. To continue on, President Trump, again, another quote from President Trump. I have a bunch of quotes today. So if it seems like a lot, then sorry. But President Trump, this is the start of the quote, and I quote, "President Trump said to Republicans, 'You must follow your hearts on this issue. But remember, you must also win elections to restore our culture and, in fact, save our country.'"
End oh, quote. My word.
Exactly.
He said that?
Mm-hmm. That is a direct quote.
Why anyone will vote for this man after this is just baffling to me. Wow. We gotta win elections, guys. That's more important than lives. Like, babies' lives. No. That's a playing token. Those are just pawns in his game, apparently. Wow. Yeah.
Wow. I'm surprised that he even said restore our culture.
To what?
But the fact is, what does he think is going to restore our culture?
Yeah.
Elections.
Now what?
He believes him, elections.
What does a restored culture even look like? Because if a restored culture is one in which baby murder is acceptable in parts of the country.
Right.
Then what evs? Like, then we have nothing. Yeah. If that's an option, if that's on the table, we're dead. We're dead as a movement if we're fine with slaughtering babies. Anywhere.
If murder is okay, what else is okay?
Yeah. Everything else. Do whatever you want at that point.
Yeah.
Wow.
This leads me right into my next thing. Trump and his followers are a cult. Mm-hmm. They will do anything. He predicted the future when he said that I could kill somebody in the street and they still would follow me. He was right. Because they believe this person is their savior. It is a cult. They believe he is going to save them.
Yeah.
Instead of Christ. And it's sad that a lot of Christians still think that Trump is good.
Yep.
We are following a separate God. But a God here on earth.
Yep.
This leads me into my next point. And along with this cult-like following, I want to talk now about Carrie Lake. I do want to give some background information to set this all up. In 1864, a law in Arizona was made basically making abortion a felony. Now, this is specifically on the side of the doctors. It would put any doctor who helped or performed an abortion was given 5 years in prison and was given a felony sentence. Of course, we can discuss the whole prison thing later, but this was a crime. It was a crime.
Yeah.
It was.
They at least took it seriously.
Yes. I don't think they took it as seriously as murder, and I wish they would have gone a little bit farther.
Could have been the death penalty. Yeah.
Yeah. Which murderers normally receive a life sentence. Which I think they do. Is that true in all cases or just a few cases?
I don't even know anymore.
Yeah. So
it's so off the rails. Yeah. Like.
So, of course, Trump and his followers, Carrie Lake, opposed this law. Mm. And even in her argument, I should have brought up the specific instance in which she said it, but in her argument against this law, she states that she stands with Donald Trump. She opposes this law.
I do have the exact quote if you want it.
I don't think it's needed at this current point. We can, if people want more information and they want to see that, we definitely can provide it. But I think
it's on our coming Facebook close pages. On, or our Facebook that? Page. It's on our Facebook yes. page or Instagram or Twitter. Follow us there. And Aaron, our media manager, posted it there. Director of cool. Serrated Edge.
Yeah.
We're between two titles.
Yep. So she's following Donald Trump. She agrees with Donald Trump on what he said and what he stated before. And because of that, she opposes this law. She specifically said in her pamphlet that she put out, she said, as a senator, I will oppose federal bans on abortion. We don't want a ban on abortion. And I think this speaks to a bigger thing. And this kind of goes into our theological discussion that we want to have. The Republican Party is done. We are past the breaking point. Trump was the final straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah.
That's, or at least, I loved the way Steve Dace put this. Trump went in and he revealed a lot of things when he was elected in 2020. Was it 2020? No.
2016.
There we go, 2016. When he was elected in 2016, he went in and he revealed a lot of stuff. Trump now is revealing a lot about us. A lot about the Republican Party. He's mm-hmm. bringing out a bunch of stuff that a lot of people never really realized. We don't not on care. Purpose. Yeah, well, yeah, true. We don't care about morals.
Useful tool God is using to reveal yes. our sick nature of this party. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, we don't care about morals anymore. We're not here to fight for anything. We just want to win. We just want to win now. And Trump even said that. He said, the only thing now is to win elections. And hey, guess what? That's going to restore our culture and save our country. It's not. A win will not.
Yeah.
Following God will. Following God and his laws will do that. But we don't understand that morality, and this is a statement that is said a ton before, we cannot legislate morality. If we're not legislating morality, or if we're not legislating Christian morality, we're legislating evil morality.
Yeah.
Morality is going to be legislated. It's just what morality are we legislating?
Yep. Yeah.
And given what was it? Richard Dawkins recently said, he said that he would rather be in a Christian nation than a nation that wasn't.
Yep. Yep.
To add to this, this is just another point I wanted to add. Trump put out a campaign recently after the eclipse. This campaign really shows you his narcissism.
Oh, no.
I don't know. Have you seen it, Bruce?
No, I'm scared to ask.
Oh my goodness. It is a campaign where he shows a bunch of people lining up to watch this eclipse. You know, they're putting on their glasses. They're, you know, and you start to see there's a shadow going over the sun. And it's Trump's face. It's a silhouette of Trump's face going over the sun.
So he's the moon now.
Imagine such narcissism.
He's literally the moon now.
Yeah. One of our family members had a really good retort to that. He said, oh, wow, Trump is being so truthful here. He is blocking the light. He is blocking the light. He is stopping the light from coming to the people. That is Trump. That is Trump.
Yeah.
He is putting blinders over our eyes, thinking that he is our savior, when really he is keeping us from the truth.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Because when you think about it, what is it that's going to bring this nation to its knees to finally repent to God? What is it? When they are without hope in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
When they have no man to turn to. I mean, the word Bible challenge, it's awesome because we get to read through the Bible every year. But right now we're reading through Jeremiah. And the cycle of Israel, you know, things are good, things are great. And then, oh no, they're full of themselves. And they're just so prideful and arrogant and doing whatever they want to do. And what does God do? He brings them low. He has to punish them. He has to say, wake up, idiots, like, turn back to me, like, follow my law again. And what do they do? Finally, after they're crushed enough by oppressors and famine and everything, they finally, kicking and screaming, turn back to God, repent, and then they do it all over again. It's kind of an example, unfortunately, of our, you know, personal lives a lot of times, right? But
yeah.
That's what God uses. God uses oppression and economic difficulty and a lack of hope in man when everything else has been tried and it's all failed, when we finally have no choice but to turn to him. But what is this right now? Trump? Trump is the liar standing on the mound saying, trust in me, I'll get us through this. Trying to be God. Trying to stand in the brink. Right? Without turning to God. And we all stupidly, like lemmings, turn to him and say, wow, he can get us through this. Let's put all our trust in him. What we're doing is delaying the inevitable. Now God is going to have to ramp up his judgment because we're too thick-headed to say, no, we're done. We don't trust Trump. We don't trust in man. We trust in God alone. But we're not smart enough right now. We're not low enough yet. If you think this is bad, keep voting for Trump. Let's see what happens. Right? We're going to get there. Right? It's going to get worse. But that's what God does. That's how Reformation comes to a nation. It's not pretty. It would have been nice if we weren't so foolish. But we're still willing to vote for Trump. So obviously, it's like people. So, well, this was... Jake, thanks for doing all this research and pulling in the facts and showing the receipts. And just to all of you out there who are still on the Trump team, send us your emails, trdshow@protonmail.com. We want to know why. We're just sitting here scratching our heads, wondering why anyone would vote for him at this point.
In anticipation of the lesser evil argument.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't vote. I'm sorry to say, we just don't vote.
Yeah.
Because that's not the answer.
Yep. Yep. Amen. Amen. Which brings us to our conversation, our discussion for the next couple of minutes here, 6 minutes or so. What does a biblical political victory look like? Now, there's a lot of sides to this, a lot of perspectives. But I'd like to bring in Psalm 127. Verses 1 and 2. This passage says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go to bed late, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. And that's Psalm 127, 1 through 1. Now, lest you think that this is a passage that's spurring us to laziness or slothfulness, right? Oh, God will give us sleep. We don't have to rise early or go to bed, right? Remember the context. The context here is unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Is the labor bad? No. Is watching over the city bad? No. But unless you're on God's side when you're doing what you're doing, it's in vain. It's vapor. It's useless. Yeah. It's for nothing.
Yeah. This is the Republican Party completely.
Yeah.
Specifically, like, building a house is a good thing. You know, watching the city is a good thing. But it's done in vain if it's not done God's way. If it's not done, unless the Lord is watching over it, it's not being done. It's being done in vain. Same thing with the Republican Party. We could be doing all these things about abortion. We could be eliminating it as much as we can. But hey, guess what? It's going to be in vain if we do not make this God's victory. If this is not for God, it's useless.
Yeah. Yep.
And it will all end up on the other side. So by the Republican Party, and this is kind of an argument to hit them a little bit, the Democrats are going to win if you keep doing what you're doing.
Yep.
And you can keep doing what you're doing, thinking that you're doing good. It'll be nothing. It's causing them to win. If you're not doing it for God, then they will be winning, no matter what you do. You can strategize as much as you want. It's all being done in vain.
Yeah, have all the best plans, have everything. But here's the fascinating part behind this whole thing. Strategizing is good. Building is good. Watching over the city is good. Rising up early, going late to bed, that's all good. Eating the bread of anxious toil, probably not so good, right? Anxiously. But largely all of this is good. But then what does it say at the end? For he gives to his beloved sleep. When we do things God's way, it will, in the end, be less work for us. Mm-hmm. We are working as hard as we can. Yes. But our labors will be increased exponentially.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of anxiously toiling away and accomplishing very little, God will give the increase. Right? So the benefit here is, yes, we can strategize. Yes, we can do all that stuff. Millions of dollars going into political campaigns. But at the end of the day, if God is on your side, you don't need all that. You stick to your principles. You stand for what's right in the face of opposition. You say, this is the word of God. That's my standard. And you declare it publicly. And you'll be in a very, very different position. You will succeed in innumerable ways. Now, it might not initially look that way, right? Sleep comes at the end of the day, right? But it still comes to you if you're on God's side. And this goes back to the whole debate we had several episodes ago. The difference between wanting God to be on your side, which means you're going in a direction and you have your own goals and your own mindset and your own principles and et cetera, and you hope that God comes alongside you and says, okay, yep, you can do that, and I'll bless that. Or the inverse of that is, this is what God said to do. This is the direction he's going in. This is his kingship is going in this direction, and you come alongside that. You play your part in that. You do what God created you to do to fit with his plan, not the other way around. And so that should be our goal. We should be looking, every one of us, to the Bible to figure out, what are we supposed to be doing? How are we supposed to be building a Christian nation? Right? First and foremost, that has to be the goal. No, duh. Like, people who don't get right now, oh, we just want to live on our own and just want, no, those days are long since gone. Those days of just live on your own, be neutral, there, first of all, that's impossible. Second of all, those are the days that gave us these wicked days.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why we're
long since time for us to have the mission to Christianize this nation again. That's our goal, to live in a Christian society, first and foremost. Okay, hopefully we all get that. If you're listening to the show and it's the first time you've heard that, you need to take a trip out here to Moscow, Idaho, and spend a week here, and we'll talk. Look around, see what it's like. You'll very quickly catch on. But if that, so that's your goal. You need to then figure out what does the Bible tell me to do? Mm-hmm. I can't just go out there and, you know, in the name of God, do whatever I want to do. You've got to do it the way that he's told you to do it, or it will be in vain. Simple as that. And with that, thank you all for tuning in, listening. Hopefully this was inspirational and also maybe just a little bit like, exasperational. I don't know if that's a word, but please get that started if it's not. But we'll be back on Friday to discuss Adam Terrell's book, Public Stoning, God's Design for a Nation Without Prisons. We are reading one chapter this week, and I'll pretty much be reading through that, and we'll be discussing it. It is a big one. And it's not till the end of the chapter that he delves into this one topic that's just kind of mind-blowing. So anyways, this may be the most controversial week out of all of them. But you're going to want to stay tuned for that. We'll see you on Friday. Thank you, Jacob, for all your work you put into this. Very much appreciated. You can all send us emails, trdshow@protonmail.com, screaming at us with all caps for our stance on Trump, because that's what usually happens when we post episodes like this.
Let's test our new addition to our team out. give him some hard times.
That's right. Follow us on all our social media platforms too, and you can yell there too. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Gab, Getter, all the places. TRDShow.net has a fully comprehensive list of all the platforms we're on, so follow us there. We're also back on YouTube for now. We'll see how long we last. Because they kicked us off last time, so I don't know how this is going to go, but, you know, if you're a YouTuber, you can follow us there. Thanks again, everyone. We'll see you on Friday, and remember, in all that you do, do it as unto the Lord.